peace with God.
Happy New Year from all of us here at Peace with God. You know, if recorded history is any guide, 2015 will see a mix of joys and sorrows, both on a global scale and in your personal life. Whatever it holds, Billy Graham says, if you know Jesus, you can know peace.
Peace means tranquility, no matter what the circumstances. Let the bombs fall, let the wars come, let the world tear apart. Let your husband leave you, your wife leave you. Let death come to the family. All these things will cause tears, yes. But in the midst of it is peace, because you have peace with God.
This is Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer, and along with Billy Graham's message, you'll also hear from his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. She'll encourage you to include God in every decision you make this new year.
Decisions made with a lack of prayer and Bible reading are nothing more than a recipe for disaster.
Don't miss the rest of Ann's insight coming up right after her dad's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today's message is titled Peace in Our Time. It comes from Billy Graham's 1975 crusade in Lubbock, Texas. He begins the message with a reading from the biblical book of Luke, the 2nd chapter and 14th verse, when angels announce the birth of Jesus.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But then there's a couple strange verses that I want to read. Luke 12:49, our same Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. I am come to send fire on the earth, he said. I have come to send fire on the earth. And then Matthew 10:34, he says something else very strange. He says, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. It sounds like a contradiction. It sounds like he didn't know what he was talking about. He was announced as the Prince of Peace in the Old Testament. He came in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. The angels announced him as the one that was going to bring peace. And now when he reaches the age of 30 years of age and he enters upon his ministry, he said, I have come to bring fire on the earth. And he says, I've come not to bring peace, but a sword. How do we reconcile it? What did he mean? There are those who've tried to reduce Christ to the level of a genial, innocuous appeaser. But Christ said, you're wrong. I'm a fire setter. I'm a sword wielder. This generation has been called the tormented generation. And the reason that it's been called that is because it's an age of revolution. A technological revolution that is causing other revolutions throughout the world. Political revolutions. Old orders are dying and new orders are coming into being. And the whole world order is changing, and changing rapidly right now. Morally, structurally, in business, labor, government, everything is in change and in crisis, because the word change and crisis mean the same thing. The people of the Middle East have been fighting ever since Cain slew Abel. And they patch it up for a while, and sometimes a whole generation goes by and there's peace. And then war breaks out again somewhere in the Middle East. And the Bible teaches that there's going to come a day, someday in the future, when they will have peace, permanent peace. But till that time, because of the evil in man's heart and because of the disease and the flaw in man's nature, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars till that glorious day when permanent peace will come. But many idealists of every generation have thought that they could bring permanent peace without God and without the Prince of Peace, and it can't be done. The world tonight is arming as it's never been arming before. Small nations that cannot afford arms are arming to the teeth. For what? You see, there's a flaw in human nature. And as long as man has this disease called sin, there's going to be the possibility of war. As long as there's lust and greed and hate in the world, there's going to be the possibility of war. I was asked in 1955 to come and see Prime Minister Winston Churchill. He said, "I personally don't have any hope that the world is going to find peace." He said, "Look at these afternoon newspapers. They're filled with murder and violence and talk of war." He said, "Do you have any hope to give to an old man?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I had my New Testament, and I took it out, and I read to him several passages of Scripture. And I told him what the biblical hope was. That the biblical hope for peace lies in a person that has been called the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming back to this earth again someday to set up his kingdom. That is our hope. The first Christmas night, when the announcement to the shepherds was made, it seemed that the optimists were right. "Glory to God in the highest," the angels said, "and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." But they ignored other prophecies in the Bible. They ignored those Old Testament passages that predicted the suffering, the death of the Messiah. Isaiah 53, the whole chapter devoted, the most graphic description of the death on the cross written 800 years before Christ, before utopia can come to earth. The Messiah had to go to the cross and die. And men have always been over-optimistic about peace. They were certain in Jesus' day, with his wonderful personality and his gentle nature, that he'd come to bring peace. And the same mistake is being made by well-meaning people today with a superficial knowledge of the Bible. And Jesus had to correct this easy optimism and warn them that his coming this time did not mean a quick utopia. Far from being a drug to soothe society to sleep with man's evil nature still smoldering and liable to explode at any moment, his message was fire that was going to set society ablaze. He taught that his fire would eventually destroy the bonds of ignorance, the social injustices, the racial prejudices. It seems that evil is getting worse and good is getting better. And Jesus said the wheat and the tares will grow together. But he taught that eventually his fire, the fire of the gospel, would destroy ignorance and slavery and prejudice and hate and lust and greed. But he warned that before that time, there would be division and strife. You see, those who are dominated by lust and greed don't want Christ in their lives. They don't want Christ to be the Lord and Master of their families. They don't want Christ to direct their lives. They don't want to live the high moral standards that he demands. And these statements about fire and the sword of Christ probably came as a shock to them. Now, John Wesley interpreted this quote of Christ as meaning, "I've come to spread the fire of heavenly love upon the earth." And there's a sense in which true love is a fire. It's spoken of as a refiner's fire. And the man who loves his neighbor the most will fight all that hurts and deprives and oppresses his neighbor. Paul said, "Who is offended and I burn not?" Christ drove the money changers from the temple. He rebuked the Pharisees. He rebuked those men who wanted to stone that poor woman taken in adultery. Abraham Lincoln became filled with righteous anger when down in New Orleans, he was only 22 years of age, and he saw a slave girl being trotted back and forth like a horse to be sold. And he said to his friends, "Let's get out of here. If I ever have a chance, I'm going to hit this thing and hit it hard." And he did. His love for the freedom of men did not bring peace and unity. Lincoln's love for freedom helped bring war. And it took a war, a devastating war, to unite this country greater than ever. Now, God loves the world 10,000 times more than Abraham Lincoln was capable of loving America. God loves our world. He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross to bring peace.
You can learn more about the peace that God is offering you at our website, peacewithgodradio.org. Just click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And you can also talk to us on the phone about it. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Where did your Christmas tree end up? In a box, in the attic, on the curb for the garbage man, maybe thrown into the woods or a field somewhere. It's none of those for Natasha's tree.
In our house, we keep the Christmas tree up all year around. So my Christmas tree in the springtime has like flowers in it, and go out to the garden and pick fresh flowers and stick it in the tree and decorate the tree.
You heard right.
We keep the Christmas tree up all year around.
Why? Well, before she surrendered her life to him, Natasha really didn't have much time for Jesus.
The 25th of December specifically was a day for Jesus, and that's the only day I gave him. Whereas now it's every day is for him, and every day is celebrating him.
It's not too late for you to receive and celebrate the true gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ. He wants to forgive your sins and fill your heart with hope and peace. Learn more at peacewithgod.net. That's peacewithgod.net.
Thanks for being with us for 2015's first edition of Peace with God. Churches and individual Christians in the U.S., Canada, and the United Kingdom are planning My Hope with Billy Graham outreaches in the coming months. They may be held in homes, churches, coffee shops, or prisons.
First off, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about myself and where I've been. I've been in here. I've been in blue. I've been in orange.
Since that time, Kevin's given his life to Jesus Christ. He's no longer an inmate, but late last year, he went back to prison to hold a My Hope outreach for the inmates of the Yamhill County Jail in Oregon.
I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to make that decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to turn from sin and become that new creation. Are you ready?
Kevin had prayed that the inmates he was meeting with would come to the same realization he had years earlier.
I hit bottom, and when I realized it, I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. That was the day that I needed God.
God used the My Hope outreach Kevin was leading to bring a number of inmates into new or restored relationships with Jesus, including this young man.
I made a decision to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ. It couldn't have come at a better time. I really needed this.
This wasn't the first time Kevin's used a My Hope program.
I've used the My Hope videos several times. I've seen it make a huge impact on people that you would never expect.
For the outreach at the Yamhill County Jail, Kevin used the most recent My Hope program, which features a message from Billy Graham titled Heaven. A new My Hope program is set to be released this November. You can learn more about hosting your own My Hope outreach by going to myhopewithbillygraham.org. That's myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Would you like to experience deep, unshakable peace in this new year? Billy Graham's explaining how you can do that. Let's listen now to the conclusion of his message, Peace in Our Time.
And the Bible teaches three kinds of peace. Only three. First, there is peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, said the Apostle Paul in Romans 5:1. The greatest need that you have right now tonight as an individual is peace with God. You say, well, Billy, I'm not at war with God. Yes, you are. You may not be conscious of it. God calls it war because you are in rebellion against Him. You don't do His will. You haven't yielded your life as to him as Lord and Master and Savior. Oh, you're a member of the church. You're a fairly decent person. But the Bible says we don't even know our hearts. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, that's how God looks at it. You see, you don't know that you're rebelling against God. You're not quite conscious of it. You're not shaking your fist in God's face. But you're not living according to the Word of God. You're not giving time to prayer. You're not giving time to Bible study. You're not giving time to soul winning. You're not giving everything that you possibly could give. And so God looks upon you and God pronounces the verdict, and the diagnosis is that your heart is sinful. That's God's diagnosis. That's the way He looks at you. He says you're a sinner. You've broken my laws. You're in rebellion against me. And what you need is reconciliation. And the greatest need that we have tonight is reconciliation with God. How do you get reconciled with God? That's what the cross is all about. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ reached one hand and took the hand of God, and the other hand and took your hand, and brought us together and reconciled us to God at the cross. And you can only find God at the cross. Have you come to that cross? Not with all your religious trappings, not with all your pretenses and pride, but have you come in great humility and said, "Oh Lord, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry, and I'm willing for you to come into my life and change my life and change my way of living"? Peace with God. That's why Christ died. That's why He rose again. That's what the cross is all about. Christ did His part on the cross in dying for you. Now you must receive Him. You see, God is willing to offer you a pardon. He'll pardon you and forgive you. But more than that, He will change you here and now. And you begin eternal life, not when you die. You begin eternal life tonight, right now. And you can have heaven on earth, joy and peace and security in the midst of a world that's crumbling. In fact, that's what peace means. Peace means tranquility, no matter what the circumstances. Let the bombs fall, let the wars come, let the world tear apart. Let your husband leave you, your wife leave you. Let death come to the family. All these things will cause tears, yes. But in the midst of it is peace, because you have peace with God. And that brings us to our second point. There's the peace of God. Peace with God now. Now peace of God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." He said, "My peace I give unto you." Think of the serenity with which Jesus Christ moved in His life. He wasn't hurrying about here and there like we do. He seemed to take time with everybody. He only had 3 years. He could have fed all the hungry people in the world. With one wave of His arm, He could have stopped all the wars, but He didn't do it. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that He would go to the cross and take your sins. You see, God couldn't be just and just forgive you. God couldn't come along and pat you on the back and say, "Jim, Bill, Susie, Mary, I forgive you. I know you've broken my law and you've sinned." You see, to us, sin seems trivial. It doesn't seem serious. But in God's sight, it's deadly serious. It means eternal death. It means judgment. God is a just God, absolutely just. Somebody had to bear the punishment. Somebody had to spend the time in the prison. Someone had to suffer the pangs of hell and judgment. And Jesus Christ stepped out and said, "I will." And He took your judgment and your hell. There's never been a person that called upon the Lord even with a sigh or a breath and said, "Lord, remember the thief on the cross? He deserved death. He deserved to die. He was a murderer. He was a robber. And all he did was turn to Jesus Christ and say, 'Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.'" And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Remember me. That's all. You can be touched by Christ tonight and never be the same again. And then thirdly and lastly, there is peace with our fellow men. Jesus said, have peace with one another. In other words, we are to work for peace. But man himself without God will never bring permanent peace. Thousands of peace treaties have been signed in the history of the world, and we still have wars. Is there going to be a day and a time when we will have no more war? Yes, there's coming a day. Listen to what the scripture says. And he shall rule the nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:4. That's going to happen. War will be eliminated. Peace will come. It's going to be a wonderful time. There'll be no tears, no suffering, no hospitals, no armies, no navies, no wars, and no death, no graveyards. A wonderful, glorious world to come. What will be the government? The United Nations? No. Theocracy. God reigning. God will be in charge, and he will rule the world, the scripture says, with a rod of iron. That means with perfect justice and perfect love and perfect mercy. That's the future. And I want to tell you tonight, I've staked everything I've got, ever will have, on the promise of that word. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone as my Lord and my Savior.
You can make that same decision to trust Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. It's the only hope you have for true peace in this life and for heaven in the next. Learn more by going to peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And you can also call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
The new movie Unbroken tells part of the story of Louis Zamperini's amazing life as an Olympic athlete and a World War II hero. Now you can watch the rest of his story, how God changed his life after he attended Billy Graham's 1949 Greater Los Angeles Crusade. Watch Louis Zamperini Captured by Grace, the latest TV special from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Check your local listings or billygraham.tv for station and airtimes. That's billygraham.tv. Louis Zamperini, Captured by Grace.
On this first Peace with God program of the new year, it's a good time to think about decisions you'll be making in the coming months. And Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, has some biblical advice for you.
How are you making your decisions? Are they based on logic, circumstances, feelings, the counsel of others? Wrong decisions in a believer's life usually begin with a famine of God's word and prayer. Proverbs 3:5 says, "To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Sometimes we're tempted to think God doesn't want to be bothered with such a small decision, or a small thought, or a small action. And sometimes we don't want to find out what he wants because it may be different than what we want. So, what decision have you made without asking the Lord? Have you changed jobs without asking the Lord? Purchased a new car? Moved to a new location? Scheduled your day, or week, or year without asking the Lord? Listen to me. Watch out. Decisions made with a lack of prayer and Bible reading are nothing more than a recipe for disaster. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
You can listen back to Ann's insight and her dad's message anytime you like by getting a free CD copy of today's program. Just give us a call. Let us know you'd like the free CD of this edition of Peace with God. The number's easy to remember. It's 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. Next week here on Peace with God, learn what the Bible has to say about extramarital sex.
There is no sin in all the Bible that Jesus dealt so tenderly with as he did this sin. He was kind and loving and merciful to all of those that were willing to turn from it. And he was willing to give them new strength and a new life. And he'll do the same for you.
That's next week here on Peace with God. Before we wrap up today's program, we have an invitation for you to invest in the work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. You can help us continue to share the message of Jesus Christ through your prayers and your financial support. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or make your donation over the phone. The number is 888-61-JESUS. 888-615-3787. I'm Bill Meyer, and thanks so much for being with us today. Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.